This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome back to another Kind of Funny MCU in Review rewatch. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, still looking fantastic in those glasses, Andy Cortez.
Oh man, the reckoning is upon us.
Joining us today as well is the Big Daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Hulk can't have sex, or he'll go boom boom.
Jesus Christ. This is going to be one of those ones, isn't it, Nick Scarpino?
He just cuts to the outside of the hotel room and you just pop.
God. And never mind, what's popping there?
It's everything.
Green goo.
Oh, God. Geez, out of all of this, I didn't expect that. Of course, this is Kind of Funny's In Review, where each and every week we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. Of course, it all started with the MCU, and now we do some rewatches every now and again as we prepare for new projects. Today, we're doing The Incredible Hulk to lead into She-Hulk that begins next week, which is very, very exciting. Woo! But also, we had some more MCU bonus stuff and a bonus In Review coming up. We have I Am Groot that comes out in just a few short days. We're going to be doing an In Review of that as well. It's just going to be a fun, lighthearted time, and I cannot wait for it. Of course, you can get the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny In Review, and we will be right there for you. I keep saying this, but if there is a movie franchise out there that you like, that you hate, chances are we have reviewed it, maybe rewatched it. So go check out, just search for Kind of Funny and your favorite movie franchise and see what happens. It's going to be fun for me and fun for you. If you want to get this show ad-free and watch live as we record it, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to be, just like our Patreon producers, Molecule and Fargo Brady. Today, we're brought to you by Chime and MeUndies. I'll tell you all about that later. I want to get right into it. The Incredible Hulk, released on June 13th, 2008. Just 1 month after the debut of the MCU with Iron Man that came out on May 2nd, 2008. So far, this is the closest release between two movies of Marvel Studios. Nick, do you think that'll ever change, or do you think that they'll never want to step on their own toes that much?
That much? I think they'll absolutely do that again.
You think so?
Yeah. Aren't they kind of doing that with the TV shows right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, with the TV shows, kind of, with the shows and movies kind of do. But yeah, I'd be shocked if we ever get two movies theatrically released this close together.
So. No. I mean, they would space them out, what, 6 months?
I mean, I feel like now we're at like a every 3 months cadence.
Is that kind of it? Yeah. You want to give them that traditional, you know, window, good enough to get up to about a bill and a half of theatrical run revenue worldwide, and then you get it straight to the VOD and Disney Pluses and whatnot.
Exactly. So after the mixed reception to Universal's 2003 film Hulk, Marvel Studios reacquired the rights to the character, although Universal still retains distribution rights, and that is still true to this day. So that's why we're not getting new Hulk movies that are like just Hulk, because Marvel's like, well, we might as well just use our own characters, but they're allowed to use the character Hulk, and that's why we're seeing She-Hulk and this kind of universe be expanded on the Disney Plus side, because they are allowed to do the TV show side of things. But with the budget of the CG and all that stuff for Bruce, it's a little hard to do. Producer Gail Ann Hurd called this film a requel because it's a bit of a reboot and a bit of a sequel to the 2003 Hulk. There you go.
Never forget.
I've never seen it. One day really? We'll do all the other Marvel movies. There's only like 10 left. I made a list recently, and including Howard the Duck and the Punisher movies and all that, there's only about 10 movies. So one day.
Let's do it, brother. Are you have Fantastic Four on there? You have that crappy-ass Fantastic Four?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Which I also haven't seen. Then we have a runtime of 1 hour, 52 minutes for this, making it the shortest film in the MCU time.
Oof, but Thor does it 2. Feel long?
And we'll get into it. This was directed by Louis Leterrier, a French film director and producer best known for his work in action films like the first two Transporter films, Unleashed in 2005, Clash of the Titans, Now You See Me, and the streaming television series, The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, that came out on Netflix.
Everybody loved that show. Everybody was mad when it got canceled.
The director wanted Mark Ruffalo for the role of Bruce Banner, but Marvel insisted on Edward Norton. Fucking shows
in
the end,
we win.
Yeah, exactly. The music was done by Craig Armstrong, who is a member of the band Massive Attack. That's cool as hell. Armstrong's score for Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet earned him a BAFTA for achievement in film music and a bunch of other awards. He also would collaborate with Luhrmann again on Moulin Rouge and The Great Gatsby. He also did the score for Love Actually. How's that make you feel, Greg?
Great, great movie. Ever go see it? It'll be Christmas time. Go see it again.
In stores now.
Technically, you know what I mean? I'll tell you what. My favorite thing about watching The Incredible Hulk again for like the whatever, ninth time, like I watch it all the time. Watching it for the first time in forever is it's going. And then Tim Blake Nelson pops back up. And I'm like, I haven't seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou in quite some time. Jen and I went to the Grand Ole Opry with Tim and Gia. They played that song, Cons of Sorrow. And I was like, damn. And Jen's like, I've never seen that movie. I'm like, fuck, we got to watch that movie. I'll put it on Amazon Prime tonight, baby.
Good character watch, actor. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I did watch that.
Oh, one. That's He's right. He's really good in that. It's really good.
Holes there you as go. Well.
Yeah,
holes.
Stanley Yelnats, baby. This one had a budget of $150 million and a box office of $264 million, making it the lowest grossing film of the MCU.
But at the time, it was only second place. So
that's a good point.
All right, like, come on now. It's easy to look back 48 films later and be like, what a fucking failure. At the time, they're like, we're printing money. We're
let's see the bar graph draw that out. That looks like first place, second place, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth.
You remember at the end of Love Actually when the VO happens and he goes, and we were like, why do they call this movie Love Actually? And he goes, all these things that bring us together, it's Love Actually. And you're Nailed like, it.
Hugh Grant, while we're on this subject of Hugh Grant, what a fucking untapped talent. All right, last week
been a lot of stuff untapped, a lot of stuff
but he took like, a lot, you know, of movies, I mean?
And TV shows,
like, he doesn't do enough though, you know what I mean? He doesn't do enough. And it was Lucy James's birthday last week. She came over for a special birthday dinner and then we watched Paddington 2 together, and I'll tell you, Hugh Grant, whoo, what a fucking guy. Andy, get him on the podcast.
I'll try to see what I can do.
So the 264 makes it the lowest grossing film of the MCU. Do you guys have a guess at what the second lowest is?
Thor 2 Dark World?
No.
No. Hold on.
Thor 1?
Eternals.
No way.
Captain America 1 at 370 million. What do you think is the third lowest?
It's probably one we already said. He's giving you a chance. Andy, say it again.
Eternals.
Black Widow at 379. And number four, Eternals at 402.
I was close.
So still pretty damn good, all things considered. These motherfuckers, they're making a lot of money, man.
Man, Black Widow should have been, I should have shouted that out earlier, right? If I was the thinking man, I'd have been like, oh, Disney Plus clearly didn't make as much. Scarlett Johansson right. sued him.
That's
all
not
that,
that movie's fault, though. That was pandemic problems.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still saying, you know, in the way my mind
you're
should
right.
have worked, Nick.
All
right,
you're smart.
I don't need
smart.
You, the fucking Disney lawyer, coming in trying to fucking justify how this all went down. All right,
for real, dude. For real.
Get back to trying to get Ezra Miller off the hook. All right, don't worry about what's happening right now.
There's so much going on with that. Disney lawyer is also the DC lawyer.
Put that girl out. God damn it, DC.
Nick, I want to start with you. What did you think of this rewatch of The Incredible Hulk?
I've always been a little bit higher up on this movie than I think everyone was. The thing, this movie, it's a competent movie, and it's got a great cast, and it's a very straightforward, very simple comic book, like, superhero story, right? It's just played so seriously that it's just you look back now, and you're like, if Mark Ruffalo were in this, I don't know that he would have been good for this movie, because the dialogue is so straightforward. There's no levity whatsoever, except for maybe one or two moments.
He's hungry. You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry.
Which was funny. It was fine. And it's just so interesting. Like, Andy and I were talking before we did our stream this morning about Edward Norton and Andy was like, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but he was like, he's kind of boring to watch. But it's, I don't think it's his fault. I just think that they were like, it's Hulk. It's a sad story. Hulk's always been a tragic character. So we got to push him into that. And I don't know that a standalone MCU Hulk movie nowadays would do any better. You'd have to have some characters around him that bring some humor to it, but it was just a different vibe back then. They just hadn't figured out the MCU like formula. So I always enjoy rewatching this. I think, again, you've got William Hurt, you've got Tim Roth, you got Liv Tyler, you got Ed Norton, you got a great, the dude from, you got Ty Burrell, for Christ's sake, pops up in this for no reason. So I don't dislike it. It's just an interesting like jumping off point, you know. It's one of those like you got to sink before you swim moments before we get the rest of the MCU.
And you talk about Ty Burrell popping up for no reason, right? The dad from Modern Family, but if you're an OG, obviously the guy who fucked on his boat in Dawn of the Dead. Literally, wow. No fucking. Well, I mean, it's just like that was such a definitive role for me. Of who's this guy? Oh, he's just having sex and he's filming himself having sex. That's the guy. He's a bad guy and he gets bit. It's awesome. But then it was like he pops up in Modern Family as like the dad, like the best dad of all time. Like
definitive role for me.
It's a fucking whiplash. Well, I like zombie movies, Andy. You don't know that probably about me. You don't know that. But anyways, like literally, this guy is just dropped in, and it's like, okay, he's in a scene as the new boyfriend. I get that. That's enough. And then this whole thing where William Hurt shows up on his porch. He's like, where are they going? You were smart to call us. Like, oh, this guy? I guess. Thank you. This is something we would normally be like, what's the plot hole here? How do they know? Oh, the fucking goddamn Dark. Boyfriend sold him out for no reason or whatever. And now he's like, okay, great, cool, whatever.
But he has a face turn, though. Then he yells.
He does. Like, I know. This guy that we don't even... I don't even know what's the name of this fucking guy.
I love it. Anything else, Nick?
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious. We go online that he's a therapist, and all of a sudden he's like, in my trade, I pride myself on knowing when people are lying. It's like, yeah, can therapists really tell you? I don't know. It's very weird. No, I enjoy it, and, I don't think it's I'm interested to see what everyone else's feelings are, but I doubt that anyone's going to have changed their mind since last time we saw it.
Gregory Miller.
I don't remember what I said last time, so I could be changing my mind or whatever, but it's just a boring movie. It's exactly what Nick said, what Tim said. I'm sorry that it's, or maybe it was Nick. I don't know. It's all you people just run together. You know what I mean? With your beards and your Portillo hats that I still can't get, even though I own the fucking dog. It's just whatever. It's a very straightforward superhero flick, and it's a product of its time before anybody was doing anything really interesting, right? With all this and really breaking out. I think, you know, we look at Iron Man and it's funny that they're so close. I'll never forget Iron Man finishing in theaters and, you know, him looking at the cars and going, I am Iron Man, and the place erupts, and then and I was like, oh, I remember leaving like, holy shit, that was awesome. What a movie. And this movie is just like, yeah, that's the Hulk, all right. Just not that interesting as a solo character. No matter what, he's going to end up smashing things, getting big. They put him in this university that's just the most boring visual university I've ever seen in my life.
A lot of lawn.
There's one academic building and then just fucking acres of grass for him to run around. I'm like, all right, I guess that's cool. Whatever. Like, meh. So for me, like you said, it was the shortest movie, right? It did feel long today watching it while doing email. I'm like, we're still fucking going. All right. And then the Oh Brother Where, like, all right, Mr. Blue. Yeah, yeah, I remember you, and you're going to get the big head. All right. Yeah. Okay. And it's like, all right. And like, yeah, but it's like, and it's got a great cast, as we've said. Like, this is no fault to any of them. I'm glad MCU never went back to Liv Tyler. You know, we didn't need Betty. I'm glad we moved on from Betty and never really explored it or talked about it again. Like, fine, move on. And if they came back now, I don't know anything about She-Hulk. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm talking about the Betty. Yeah. Because we already had the Ang Lee Hulk. So you already knew about Betty. You get another Betty here. It's like, how many times can you go back to Betty? Anyways, Tim Roth, even Tim Roth, who's like fucking dynamite, right? Is just so one note here as Abomination, like chasing the high, but they never really get into that. Like, it's cool when he gets kicked into the tree. He's just fucking dead. And then, you know, he's back or whatever. Like, that's
his
cool.
Bones are, what did they call it? What did they say?
It's interesting, though, because like
bones are gravel.
They're all broken. It's interesting because I want that character to have been someone like a Ray Stevenson or like a bigger, more imposing person who's lost his stuff. I know Ray Stevenson was a person that came to mind because of the Punisher movie we were talking about earlier.
Ray Stevenson was the first choice to be him.
Oh, Did you? I'm
maybe
sorry,
you saw that trivia somewhere. No,
that's
no,
possible.
Just yeah, that might have just been in your head somewhere. But I just saw that trivia.
That's noodling around. That's so strange. I wanted it to be that because that would have made more sense, right? Tim Roth is, and again, no disrespect to him, but he's a very small in stature actor, and he's not imposing. So the idea of like, hey, you used to be this badass super soldier, kind of like not super soldier, but badass buff dude who's now lost the step. That makes sense why you would want to take. You know, a little bit like steroids, whatever the super soldier formula is. But with Tim Roth, it's like you're just a good fighter and a smart guy. Like, what's
but now
wrong?
His glory days don't have to end. You know, I honestly think he's going to be a highlight of She-Hulk. Like, I think he's going to be awesome because I think where the MCU is now and how much fun they're going to let him have in this show is a modern day abomination. I think it's going to be good stuff there. But yeah, it's a movie and it's like just another Incredible Hulk story that you're like, meh, whatever.
Andy Cortez.
You kidding me? This movie fucking sucks, dude. This movie should probably be around number 35 on the MCU list. I'm not looking at it. I'm just like, I feel like that's kind of where it should lie. Number 35. Edward Norton. We haven't seen a superhero like this since Tobey Maguire. Uninteresting as fuck on screen. Dude has zero chemistry with the camera. Dude has zero chemistry with anybody else. Like, this movie is only halfway enjoyable because I like Liv Tyler when she's on screen and I like...
William Hurt.
William Hurt as well. I was gonna say Noam Chomsky, but what, what's the word I'm looking for?
Same person.
Tim Roth.
What's the soldier? Tim Roth. Noam
Chomsky.
Yeah, no, what's his character's name? Bolsky?
Blonsky.
Blonsky.
Noam Chomsky.
That's pretty close.
Dude, like for real, when I'm watching Edward Norton on screen, it's like this feels like I'm watching Tobey Maguire. Like zero screen presence. Such boring like moments whenever he's talking about anything in this movie. And again, I really do think that the movie is saved whenever he's on screen with other people. Otherwise, this movie just kind of sucks. And, you know, we're just supposed to believe that this dude made it from Guatemala to fucking
he's not
Virginia.
No, he's not the Hulk. He was just Bruce Banner.
It took him 17 days, though. They did say it took him 17 days to get there.
Oh, you're not talking about when he wakes up as Bruce Banner. You're talking about later on.
When he goes from Guatemala all the way to Mexico, all the way to Virginia.
It's just like I don't care that it took 17 days. Great, that's probably the amount of time it should take. But like, we're just gonna do that, I guess. Like, why even put in that situation to begin with? I don't know. This movie just sucks, dude. It's definitely worse than Thor. What I would say.
I do want to give a shout out again to William Hurt. Who, you know, becomes a backbone of the MCU. Of course, Thunderbolt Ross here. And again, they just drop his deadbeat daughter and we never have to worry about that again. Wasn't it? But I appreciate that. Like,
she's not bad. Why are you shitting on Liv Tyler?
I'm just thinking about this movie. I had Ang Lee's Hulk. Andy, you didn't live it. All right. You were too busy sucking your thumb and going to daycare when Ang Lee's Incredible Hulk came out. Right. I sat through 4 fucking hours of Betty Ross shit. I don't need more. All right. So now I got to go here. Then he can't even have sex with her. Let the man be happy for a second. You know,
remember in Ang Lee's Hulk when he fought a cloud for 45 minutes?
And that cloud was his dad.
He's not kidding. There are also a bunch of wolves. I digress.
I can't wait for this. What the fuck?
I digress.
It's a fucking trip, dude.
William Hurt, like, you know, throughout, you know, the MCU, you're like, man, you're really fucking guy got a hard on for superheroes. Really hates him and shit like that. And then you watch the fucking goddamn montage of the opening credits, and it's like, man, in this silent film, William Hurt, you're putting in work, and I appreciate that. Like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, it's hammed up, like, laying there, mauled, and, like, waving off the Hulk. But I'm like, you know what?
Sam Raimi.
This is very, it's a very Sam Raimi. It's something that you blink and forget, but, like, this kind of gives me your motivations. Like, I get your motivations. I would have liked to have seen that, and again, I know because of Ang Lee's excellent work of showing us the creation of the Hulk, we didn't have to see it again. Like, I get that, but, like, if they didn't do that, I would have liked to have seen that expanded a bit.
And I love that they didn't show it in this. Like, this is the like canon origin of the Hulk in the MCU. Is this weird ass montage? Like, I love the
and it's back again to like almost, you know, like compare this to Spider-Man Homecoming or Spider-Man and Civil War, where it was like, all right, you fucking get it. You don't need to see Uncle Ben die. You don't need to do that. Hulk, they were like, listen, there was an incredibly popular TV show with Lou Ferrigno. So older people, they understand it. Then we just had Ang Lee, which everybody remembers. We don't need to show it again. But somebody in the room is like, but we kind of do to explain that it's not. And he's like, montage. Just do it a montage in the beginning. Make it look exactly like the Incredible Hulk TV show. Do we use the theme there? Oh no, don't use the theme there. That'd be too much. Do the sad piano theme later.
I hate all of this. Like, the montage is terrible, and then we're like, when they're waving him out of the room, like you were telling William Hurt, like, it's so over dramatic. It feels like fake in a way. Like, there's no way that this is made the final movie. I in no circumstance could I ever see this Edward Norton interacting with anybody in the MCU. Like,
yeah.
I can't see this Bruce Banner being cool with anybody just because he has zero personality and charisma.
It's so funny though, because Edward Norton, I mean, is a great actor. And Andy, we were talking about this earlier, and I was saying the other night I had insomnia. I was like, I couldn't sleep. I was kind of wired probably from the 15 Diet Cokes I drank right before bed.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just turn on the TV and let the TV decide what I'm going to watch for the rest of the night. Just turn my brain off, a little light programming. What do I find, Greg? American History X on Showtime. Fuck me. He's great.
That's a good one to put you to bed, right?
I didn't have nightmares about that at all. But Ed Norton's great in that. And then afterward, they had Rounders. Those are great characters that he plays. He's a character actor, and he plays great in that. Obviously, you know, the Italian Job. He's great in everything else. It's just, for whatever reason, he's just not that compelling in this movie.
Got a couple more things to say to shit on the movie a little bit.
Airing of grievances from Andy Cortez, Incredible Hulk Edition. Continue, please.
I hate obviously the CGI is dated, but it's less of the technology and more of the art direction.
Yeah, make him look like an overcooked hot dog. Yeah,
I
fucking
hate how ripped he is, the striations and all the musculature. It doesn't even look like musculature. It just looks like a fuck up in the 3D model. Like it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look appealing in any way. It looks really fucking bumpy and odd, and it just doesn't really read well. And I also have such an issue. I want people to go back and watch this movie again, because you may not have noticed.
Please, Andy, no.
But I have never, ever experienced a hairdo more or less uncertain with itself. This is the most uncertain hairstyle of anybody, because fucking Edward Norton goes to like 7 hairdos in this movie.
I didn't know if you were
there's
Disney
no confidence in any of them. They all look bad. It feels like they did reshoots about 3 years apart, because it's like, is that part of wig? Is this like,
is
but
it a wig,
this
Andy?
One's like just parted to the Get side it. And this one's wet. Like, it's fucking terrible, dude. I hate it
is
so
it a
much,
wig?
Nick.
I don't know. Wig it out with Scarpino.
I'm glad someone else finally said it.
I don't get what's happening in this movie.
Do you understand it? Because there's a moment where he's with Hicks and Gracie, where he's doing the breathing, and he is wearing
it's
the fucking
Buffon.
Dead cat that would later go on to be the dead cat that Doctor Strange wore in the second Doctor Strange movie. It's fucking horrible. And it's got to be reshoot stuff, but like, they didn't even attempt to match the color of his hair in some of these. The color of it was like jet black in some of them. And then when you see his normal hair, it's like a dusty kind of brownish blonde. It's pretty funny, man.
It just really seems like that one friend who is constantly changing his style because he doesn't really find a flow with it. Like, the whole movie, it is changing wildly, and I don't get it. And then at the end, we see him with the goatee. It's like, okay, this is the final form. I understand that. But throughout the fucking 2-hour jaunt it's something you need to go back and like kind of rewatch, because watching the different hairstyles change was hilarious.
You're not wrong, Andy. You're not wrong. It's awful and it's terrible and they jump around too much. But the problem was, do you remember the campaign about this?
No.
It's something Marvel could take a page out of this book right now, but they were trying to be comics accurate. So they went through and they went through. No, I'm making it up. No.
Dude, the rewatching of these movies in recent times has been interesting, because we've been watching a lot of the quote unquote the bad ones, right? Like, we just watched this. We did the Thor 1 and 2 rewatches recently. So it's like, we're at the bottom end of the entire MCU list. And I was really interested, because my thoughts on Thor were kind of all over the place, where the first time I saw Thor in theaters, I was like, hey, I'm surprised. That was better than I thought it was going to be. And then doing the in review, I was like, oh, that's not nearly as good as I remember. And then we did the rewatch, and I was like, you know what? This movie's pretty damn good. There's a lot in it. It's not perfect, but there's a lot in it. Hulk was like kind of the opposite, where I watched it and I was like, oh, this movie sucks. Then I watched it for when we did in review, and I was like, hey, it doesn't suck. It's fine, and it's better than Thor. And now here I am, Andy. Here I am. Do I owe you an apology? I owe you a slight apology because if I were to rank it now, right now, as of all of these rewatches, with all the knowledge of where Thor went and what Thor 1 is now, which I do think Thor 1 is better with knowing like what we know about Asgard and Loki and all the characters and all that shit, I would put Thor 1 over the Incredible Hulk. I would.
Justice!
Having said that, it is so close. I do not think this movie is bad by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think that it's great, but I think that there is more good than bad. Edward Norton, not my fave. I think it's funny, like with the way this movie is written, there's a lot of the dialogue that I disagree with Nick a little bit. I can totally see Mark Ruffalo saying, and it being the Hulk that we know, and that would have been a much more fun movie. I just don't think that that is what Edward Norton was trying to bring to this. He rewrote a lot of the stuff himself and kind of gave this such a serious tone. And like Nick was saying, like, this movie's just so serious. And that's not that fun because I feel like it doesn't ever get sad enough for the sad stuff to really hit right. It is just kind of like emo in a weird way for Edward Norton just like going around the world, like just constantly sad. But I thought the action scenes were pretty fun to watch. I do like the big lawn fight. I like the reshoots or original edits, whatever they are, of all the MCU stuff. I think they did a pretty good job of shoehorning it all in. Yes, it's shoehorned in, but I actually think that stuff kind of improves the fun of this movie. And I do think there is fun to be had with the movie. I think Tim Roth is awesome as a bad guy. I don't think that they gave him the runway to be as awesome as he would in a modern MCU movie, but I'm impressed with this movie being from 2008. Having said that, goddamn, is this movie from 2008. Like, the way that it's edited,
is so cotton timed. It's
just so ridiculous, man. Like, it is so funny that it's like, this is the era of Michael Bay's Transformers, and that is so clear. And this coming out after Iron Man does such a disservice to it, because Iron Man set a new standard, created a new template for Hollywood blockbusters, and this one felt like it was a little bit from the era right before that. So it's cotton time, and hey, I'd be fine if I never saw this movie again.
Is it cotton time? Is it? Are there not any movies coming out that are exactly like this movie now still coming from Sony?
No, I think it's different. Like those movies, those movies remind me more of the Daredevils and the Catwomans and things like that. This kind of just feels like a comedy movie
that just missed the mark. Yeah.
This feels like some of the, this feels like a lesser version of like X-Men 2. Like,
And
it's just a product of its time because it's so weird. It almost feels like this movie was almost canceled and they decided to release it after the fact, but it was filmed like 7 years before Iron Man. It just has that tone and kind of vibe to it of one of those X-Men movies, just kind of like with the way the intro is, the way the intro credits are, it reminds me of Spider-Man, like watching Raimi Spider-Man movie, but way worse.
So Andy, I do owe you a slight apology.
I'll take the slight one. Look, I'll take the slight one because I think at the end of the day, like, I would a million times rather watch Thor than this movie because I just feel like your main character can't be the worst part of this movie. Can't be the worst part of the movie. And I do think that...
But the wig in Thor.
The eyebrows too. You're right. I just really do think that, like, if your main character is the worst part of it, it reminds me a lot of Tokyo Drift. Like, you can't have the dude who's on screen the most be the least interesting part of it. And I do think he brings nothing to the character until the Hulk changes. And then you're like, God, I got to get to look at all these ripples and divots in the muscles.
Greg.
So I'm sorry. We have Thor 1 below Incredible Hulk?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Currently?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Isn't that bullshit?
See it? Thank you. Hold on. Let me throw
Now, Thor Dark World for sure.
Yeah.
Below these. But to their point, I wanted to put Thor, if memory serves correctly, above Hulk, and if nothing else, because of the chemistry between Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman, which I feel is here. Whereas the chemistry between Liv Tyler and Ed Norton just did not come through on this. Again, no disrespect to the two actors. It's just that's why they call it chemistry. Sometimes two things don't mix.
I don't know if that's why they call it chemistry.
I like the confidence in that.
There was so much confidence in it. I'm like, I guess
that's why they call it chemistry. It's how everything gets mixed in together.
All right, we're going to get to the plot. But before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors.
No one. And The Rock means no one.
likes waiting on a paycheck. Especially, ladies and gentlemen, when you've got bills due. Good thing there's now Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. Waiting for your money, never good. Getting your money in advance, great. Who wouldn't want that? Chime is more than about just getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on the payer. Where'd the sunglasses go? Chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. Have you heard about the legendary underwear brand that's taken the podcast world by storm? Famous for their buttery soft undies and bralettes, MeUndies loves podcasts just as much as you do. It's like they're made for you, and you're made for them. You're made for each other. Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know I love my MeUndies because they're the most comfortable underwear I've ever had, and because they have great patterns. As the king of Halloween, my candy corn pair never fails to make me smile. Everyone knows MeUndies for their super soft undies and comfy bralettes, but did you know they also make other stuff? We're talking about durable, cushy socks that will make your feet sing. They even make hoodies for your dog so you can match every important person in your life. Available in sizes XS to 4XL and tons of colors and prints, MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Any first-time purchasers can get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny.
This movie's worse than Thor.
It's back.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, The Incredible Hulk brought to you by Universal. Andy, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry. There you go. We started off Gamma Stuff. Is great.
Gamma stuff. It's happening. There's a lot of green in this movie, guys. A whole lot of green.
We get that little recap on how Hulk became Hollywood Hulk or whatever, and Liv Tyler's there too. Congratulations. Edward Norton does a cool little wink toward the camera, which always gets me going. And then, boom, Thunderbolt Ross is like, oh my God, I'm so mad. You hurt Betty. And he's like, I hurt Betty. So he leaves. They got a lot of paperwork. We see a reference to Nick Fury here, which I pop off for every single time. I was like, wow, that's so cool. And then we catch up with Bruce Banner's Days Without Incident, 158. He's in Brazil. And man, let me tell you, this place, highly dense, least relaxing place possible. Could have gone anywhere else. Anyway, he's working there. He heads to do some BJJ breathing lessons with the one and only Hicks and Gracie. What's that, Andy?
We thought he was relieving attention another way than when you started on that one.
That was way to do some BJJ.
Anyway, this is a great scene where he's slapping him and he's trying to teach him how to breathe. And he's like, no, don't do that. Anyway.
Guy's got a wacky stomach, honey.
Dude, a lot going on there.
Got a wacky little abdomen.
This is like idea one of this movie that I'm like, this is interesting. I like the idea of him trying to like control his anger in all these ways. I feel like there's none of those moments that go all the way to make it like great. But I'm like, this is kind of cool for what I'd want from a solo Hulk movie that doesn't just feel like he's sad again.
Well, it's like a mystery, right? He's trying to figure it out, and you got to do these on the lamb, and that's kind of Hulk 1.0 for sure. Of course, in order to make ends meet, he's working over in a bowling plant that also has apparently the local bully and a supermodel. They're both just in this place.
Both completely pointless characters that add nothing to anything.
You think
Martina gave stakes, Andy.
You think this Martina is going to be a character? No, it turns out she just lives right below him. That's how they know each other.
And also, when he hops in her room later on, it's like, why would you leave? Stay there. They don't know where to go. Like,
yeah, right. They might double back.
I thought you were smart as fuck. What the?
Bruce helps the factory owner fix the machine, but accidentally cuts his finger. Thankfully, the blood only lands on the conveyor belt, or so we think. Stan Lee is about to get a strong dose of the biggest gamma Viagra ever. Ooh, Boner City, Stan Lee.
Damn, Nick, you wrote that. You not only wrote that down, you decided I'm going to actually go through with it and say it on camera.
Did you also write in the ooh part?
I didn't write the last part. It's just, okay. I read it wrong, and I just said, I got to put a little salt and pepper on this, Greg. Gotta make it good.
Speaking of that cameo, though, one of the better Stan Lee cameos, the better use of that man's time.
Oh my God, no way. I was going to say this has got to be the worst Stanley cameo of all time.
It's actually plot related.
It's terrible. He did such a bad job. And like, this definitely feels like Stanley cameo 1.0.
But like, with all due respect to the late, great Stan Lee, like, he's not a good actor, period. Like, I think giving him as few lines as possible is the best case scenario.
No, but whatever he is, like, I think of the better ones with like Spider-Man when he's the in the piano room, the Andrew Garfield one, and then
Tony
Stank's
really good.
Tony Stank is great. I think of we got to rank the Stan Lees, man.
We really got to rank the Stan Lees. This is a great idea. Here's my one problem. Do we have to watch everything again, Andy, or can we just do like a special MCU one-off one day?
I'm sure there's a YouTube video.
Thank you, Nick. That's a great call.
Nick's like, I'm sure there's a YouTube video we can point people to.
Anyway, Bruce is leaving and he sees Martina being harassed by the local bully and he steps in and then he tries to, in Portuguese, in his bad Portuguese, unfortunately, he says, "You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry." And it's just so funny.
It feels like the MCU. Like, this is one of the few moments that, like, without just references to Stark Industries and stuff, but it's like, that feels like they'd write that today for a Hulk movie.
Very true.
But I think it would land. I mean, it landed, I guess, at the time. I remember that being funny at the time.
It's still landed.
I think it's still funny.
It's silly. It's a silly line. I mean, just trying to figure out the language, trying to figure it out. Banner gets some Earths in a local contact and rushes home to tell his internet friend Mr. Blue about it, but the experiment doesn't work. Another failure. With no other option, Mr. Blue wants to meet, but at the very least, he's like, "I need a sample of your blood to continue this," which Banner promptly sends to an address in New York. Thunderbolt Ross gets the news that Stan Lee's massive Hulk boner. That one I did right. And they head off to Brazil, where the bottle that he drank out of was bottled. Thunderbolt gets a team of mercs with one ace, Emil Blonsky, who's on loan apparently from the UK Special Forces or whatever it is. The man is 57 years old and would in no way, shape, or form be cleared for active duty. But it's okay because he literally flies under the radar because he's 5'2".
He's our short king. Yeah, he's our short king.
He is our short king.
Is he really 5'2"?
No, I don't know, but he looks
short. But Thunderbolt Ross is 6'2", and I think he's like maybe 5'6", and the height difference is very evident in every scene that they're together. Like, we got to work with the camera tricks here a little bit, Marvel, to just make it look like it's not that uneven. It's like the whole time he's looking at Thunderbolt Ross, he's just like, "Well, I told you that'd be a great idea." We gotta do this a bit better, y'all.
We gotta figure that out. Anyway, shout out to Tim Roth.
I'm thinking of the sequence, Nick, where The Rock is talking to Vin Diesel, but Vin Diesel is in front of the camera. They're using like forced perspective, and Vin Diesel's head is about three times bigger than The Rock's. So big.
And he's still shorter. Banner gets a positive message from Mr. Blue. He said he has a cure. I'm not going to read that joke. No, you know what? Fuck it. You guys are, this is the worst joke I've ever written, but I'm going to fucking read it right now. Great. Because I love wasting your all's time. Banner gets a message from Mr. Blue. It's positive. He has the cure. He also has Aha and Duran Duran on vinyl.
Holy
terrible,
fuck.
Terrible. I appreciate the commitment.
I had to go somewhere with Nick that was a little further of a drive than normal, right? And I always love getting in Nick's car because, like, what music is he going to be listening to today? It's always fun. It's always, like, some good variety of things. But it could literally be – it could be show tunes or it could be, like, hardcore, like, whatever.
Lately, it's been coffee shop jazz.
And it was so funny because, like, he just completely no-sold the fact that he's listening to a playlist – that Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping came on and the whole song played and neither of us like made reference to it. It just happened. And I was like, oh, damn. What was the other one, Nick?
It was like a 90s rock playlist. I can't remember. It was like,
but there was another song that I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, we're just doing this.
We're
like
jamming to this.
I think right before I picked you up, Hanson's doo-wop came up, or whatever the fuck it was. Anyway.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
But he needs more data that Bruce unfortunately doesn't have. Only his backup is at home where Betty Ross is. Later that night, Blonsky and his men sneak into try to sneak into his house. But Banner's dog apparently is trained to not only see but also attack snake cameras. So Banner pulls up for his Bueller's day off. He has time to make a a full-size mannequin with a fucking wig that apparently he was just wearing.
Now we're back to the hair, guys. Now we're back to the hair. He has many wigs to throw you off the trail when he's trying to be incognito.
Yeah. I think I made this joke last time and someone pointed out in the chat, they were like, no, it's like a mop head or some shit like that, but it's hilarious.
I mean, we do get him with the baseball cap. They're like, this is the origin of the MCU disguise. In anyone saying this movie's not canon.
Oh, wow. Sure,
that's where Captain America got the idea. Mm-hmm. They chase him through the city, but his heart rate gets too high, and the wig is back. He runs straight into the bully and his goons, who chase him to the factory, and Blonsky and his men in tow. They catch him and rough him up a little bit, and he tries to warn them, but they don't listen. They never listen, and unfortunately, his heart rate hits 200, and his calves get massive. What? He throws the bully into next week, and all hell breaks loose. This guy's definitely dead.
Okay, but hold on. Like, I just hate that so much of this movie is due to accidents and happenstance. Like, he accidentally cuts his finger, and that's how they figure out he is where he is.
Yeah.
And then he's running through the city and accidentally runs into the work bully. And the work bully plays a part in chasing him along with the special forces. Like all of this sequence is just fucking nonsense. Like, the special forces are coming after him. Noam Chomsky is coming after him. And the bully's like, oh, I'm going to give you a swirly. Like, what is happening? I hate this. I fucking hate this, dude. It sucks.
You know, sometimes those random things in life happen, Andy. You understand?
That's true.
Randomly cuts his finger. That's a real threat for him. It's one of his big things. I like that he already had the super glue ready to go. He's ready for this in any situation. He understands how dangerous he is, and he probably should kill himself. But maybe we already know that he's already tried that from Avengers. We're not sure where we're at the timeline right now.
Well, great. Sure, he should have looked for the bottle with the fucking ketchup spilling off the lid.
He thought he found it because there was a loose dot there, all right? And then we've already established that Brazil is a small town. All right, so the fact that the bully is on the two streets they have, that makes sense. We already saw all the characters. All that was missing was to bump into the guy who runs the factory, and we would have covered every character we've already met. So he's like jumped into that woman's apartment that he knew and then runs into this guy on the street.
It's ridiculous because it's like, is he like Flash Gordon, this guy? Like, why are they high school bullies at work? It's so stupid.
Joshy G in the chat says, remember in Endgame when a rat ran across the Ant-Man van controls? So there's that. But Greg, to your point, a scene where a hopeless Bruce Banner arrives at the Arctic to commit suicide was featured in the trailer, but was deemed too sensitive for young viewers, so they removed it from the film. But there are parts of this that are still in the different cuts on home media, and it includes you see Captain America in the ice, frozen with the shield.
Oh,
wow! You see, like, Bruce walk past that.
Although cut from the theatrical run, Captain America can be seen in the alternate beginning on the DVD and Blu-ray. When the last piece of ice breaks up toward the screen, hit the pause button. There, frozen in the ice, lies Cap with his shield. I remember this was like a big internet thing when it first happened. I'll try to find the picture and send it to Barrett.
Let me also just say this, that sometimes when you got a superstar on your squad, you let them do whatever you want, right? Uh-huh. Like, here, right. Kind of funny. I take paid vacations all the time.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, you know, they talk about like Dwayne Wade, Pat Riley has talked about all the other team players that he's coached. And he was like, Dwayne Wade could punch me in the fucking face and I would still start him that night. The Avengers Endgame movie can do the most dumb shit ever, but it's such a good movie that I don't care. I brush it off. It's like, go ahead. You're starting out there tonight.
Very true, man.
You're a Hall of Famer.
As this attack ensues, there is a cool shot that I like here where the grenade goes off and it's a smoky and you just see the silhouette of Hulk and he's fucking massive. I do think that the Hulk in this one is like way taller than the other Hulk, which is crazy. Anyway, Blonsky gets a beat on him with his SMG, but it does absolutely. Oh, that's cool.
No,
pulling up the shot there for audio listeners with the Captain America shield.
What do you mean? No, it's not, Greg.
We find him. They're not even inside the ship. They got to get inside the ship. They would have wrote themselves in a plot corner, and that's never happened in the MCU before, and it won't happen on my watch.
Never again.
On my watch.
Anyway, the Hulk ends up throwing a forklift at Blonsky, and all hell breaks loose, and he's like, what the hell is going on here? And then he goes over to Thunderbolt Ross, and he's like, that was the most powerful thing I've ever seen. I was like, dude, you're in the military. You've never seen, like, a nuke go off? And he says, that was Banner. It was Banner. And Banner wakes up in Biodome or whatever the fuck he is, and his pants don't fit anymore.
I really like that one line. Exchange where he's like, that was Banner. He's like, what does he say to him? Like, what are you saying? And he goes, you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying what you think I heard, what do you think you heard is exactly what I said. What, like, saying, that yeah. was Banner. I really like that little exchange between them.
Banner wakes up and he ends up flagging a driver down, but it turns out the guy's like, well, I don't speak Portuguese. He's like, where the fuck am I? He goes, you're in Guatemala. Days without incident. One, Tim. Blonsky wants back.
I had to, just a reminder, as a even now, a modern day dumb American, I had to Google. I was like, wait, how far apart are they? Oh, that's pretty far apart. Okay.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Good job, Hulk. I'll say it. I mean, if we're just putting it all on,
put it out there, Greg.
I had to Google Noam Chomsky, too. I know the name. I just don't know who this old man is.
He's a writer, right?
This old man.
Anyway. You know, I met a guy named Noam once. He was our age.
Did he work in a garden?
He was our age. As if that's a problem.
No. It's just like, you met Noam at like a retirement home. No. Yeah. This Noam was our age.
We're not making gnomes
like,
anymore. Yeah.
Somebody in the 80s was like, this is a great call. I want you to know that I'm so... I don't remember this kid's last name, right? But I'm so confident that in 3 Google searches, I can find him. Because I'll put in Noam, 30-year-old. That's going to pop up. I'm going to put in... There are gnomes by the barrel.
Yeah, we're not making gnomes anymore.
Greg. I bet if I just go to Facebook, I put in gnome, it's gonna be like, oh, you mean this one, right?
Maybe
like,
it was spelled G-N-O-M-E.
Anyway. let's see. We get a scene where Banner has to beg for money in Mexico, and then as the old G-Hulk, like really sad theme plays behind it, which I thought was a nice touch.
It's great. I love it.
And then he buys some stretchy pants, and I like that he has to like compare them to like, you know, the woman behind him. He's like, I need something more stretchy. Thunderbolt tells Blonsky about the Super Soldier program, which he tricked Banner apparently into working on, unbeknownst to him. Banner thought he was working on some sort of like cure for radiation poisoning. He's like, nope, turns out we're trying to replicate the Captain America, whatever. Anyway, he's like, something went very, very wrong or very, very right. Now, here's where I'm going to stop you guys. It's one of those things where it's like, is it that hard to reverse engineer what he's doing? Can you not just take some of his blood and just squirt it in people's faces and have him go kill some people? That's point number one. Number two, whatever this serum is that Thunderbolt had, whatever the alternate serum is that was like, hey, we tried our own thing, it works because the guy was pulverized. He had no bones left in his body. And a day later, he's like, I'm good, man. I'm ready for active duty. I'm like, that's good enough, right? Do we need the person to become the Hulk? Put a pin in that, Greg. Anyway,
I think he just wanted to become taller. Like,
dude, you have any idea how many times I've researched that bone cracking and they put the pins in you and you get like 2-3 inches taller?
It's so painful, apparently. Yeah, it's apparently like the worst thing you could ever do to your body is to try to get leg heightening surgery. You put pain metal, they break forever. Your fucking, they break your tibia, I believe.
Yeah,
and then they shove metal rods in it, and then your bones grow together over time, and it takes like 2 years to learn how to walk again, apparently, and you're in constant pain, and then you're so much taller that your arms just look really short because your legs are taller.
Just think about
get it. Your legs,
if
your
we
arms
did it now, like by the time we're 50, we could be 6 feet.
You're right about that, yeah.
With tiny little arms. let's see. Banner heads to school and spots Betty hanging out with Ty Burrell, who would later go on to immense fame in Modern Family, a show I've never seen a single episode of. Banner heads to Geppetto's.
I feel like
restaurant.
You'd love that.
I feel, you know, like Nick would love it.
Specifically Ty Burrell's
character.
Yeah. it's just weird. I just missed
That's
that
wild
show
to
completely.
Me.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I know Ed O'Neill's in it. Love Ed O'Neill. Love the cast.
I mean, you could watch it at any time, but earlier today you said, I just watched Periscope Down.
Sorry, Andy, correction. It's called Down Periscope is the name of the movie. Sorry. And it's a Kelsey Glamour. It's the one and only movie Kelsey Grammer ever did because it bombed.
And then, of course, I look it up on IMDb, Tim, and it was made in 96, and it's got like an 11 on Rotten Tomatoes.
God, I don't want to go too long on this whole Nick's movie stuff and my ignorance when it comes to 80s and 90s things, but Nick always talks about Heat, right?
Yeah.
I just, on Twitter, I keep seeing like, oh, Heat 2 is happening, whatever, and I'm like looking for Melissa McCarthy. I'm like, she's not attached, whatever, no. And I'm like, okay, The Heat and Heat, different movies,
which I'm like,
I didn't know that. I always thought when you talk about Heat, you were talking about the Melissa McCarthy thing.
Oh, dude.
No, that's when I talk about The Heat, starring Melissa McCarthy.
So you do talk about that, though.
Yes.
He does.
I talk about The Heat constantly because it is today. By the way, HBO Max is still on HBO Max. Catch it before it's gone. It is one of my all-time favorite guilty pleasure stupid comedy movies. It makes me giggle so much. The guy that played the bully in Back to the Future, what's his name? We tried to get on the show a bunch of times. Biff. He's in it. He plays the captain. Great movie. Now, Heat, totally different story. One of the best movies ever made.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Val Kilmer, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. The first time Al Pacino and Robert De Niro ever shared a screen together. Fucking just incredible, incredible crime
thriller. Yeah, Tim, you should absolutely watch that movie. Tim, do not mistake this as like a bad movie that Nick likes.
Yeah, but he's great.
He says it's good, but it's really not. Yeah. Heat is amazing.
And that's what was blowing my mind is because I'm seeing on Twitter, everyone's like, Heat 2, and like they're talking about, oh, it's one of the sequel to one of the greatest movies ever. I'm like, have I like, been making Nick fun right? of Nick incorrectly for years?
No.
So, yeah, okay.
You should, anyone out there that wants to give me share for liking The Heat, you should feel fine doing that. That is an absolutely appropriate response to that. If you don't like Heat, the movie, then you should probably reevaluate.
But is Heat 2 a real thing?
Heat 2 is a book.
Got you. Thank you.
That's what Jay6 says in chat.
Well, God, how could I possibly get more things wrong about this? I apologize. Back to the plot.
Hey, real quick, if we're just doing an airing of, hey, we were wrong, sorry, there are a lot of gnomes.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, but what is the country of origin for the name gnome? It can't be, it's got to be like Dutch, right?
That gnome is spelled N-O-A-M.
N-O-A-M, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. He heads over to Geppetto's restaurant, whatever the character's name is.
Stanley. It's a Stan Lee reference.
Sets him up. Oh, Stanley. The guy looks like Geppetto from Pinocchio.
The guy is Paul Soles. He provided the voice for Spider-Man in the Hulk animated series. Pretty much any Hulk project that happened before this, there are references abound. Obviously, we get Lou Ferrigno later, but Lou Ferrigno provided the voice of the Hulk. I said a total of 6 words: "Leave me alone," "Hulk smash," and "Betty."
Betty,
thank you, Lou. Cool. Thank you.
I like that. Of course, he wants. He needs some help sneaking into the lab, and Geppetto gives him a uniform with a hat. And then, thankfully, Lou Ferrigno is working the desk with the camera from him, and he gives Ed Norton his blessing to go up and continue on the series.
Arms are so veiny.
He's basically just like, "Hey, man." He's like, "You know what? Go ahead. You can go ahead," which is nice. It's like that scene, of course, Greg, you'll remember from the rundown where Arnold Schwarzenegger passes by The Rock and says, "Have fun," or whatever he says to him, basically passing the torch to the new generation of Hulk. And I'm glad to say, you know. To Lou, Ed got to go on and do the Hulk all the way through Thor Ragnarok. So you're blessing.
And that's what you want to see in these kind of things is the little nods. I don't need a big production. We're the rundown, this movie, Uncharted. Don't call attention to it. Just have a very simple gesture and it's over. Just like all those movies I listed. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that the reference to Uncharted was simple and subtle?
Not Nolan North weird, but the interchange or the random man on the beach. I've been there. All right, have a great adventure. Yada, yada, yada. All right.
Yeah. Because, guys, there had to be 90% of the theater who's never put together. Like, what the fuck is happening right now? Anyway.
One thing I want to throw out there is that we skipped over it, but Edward Norton washed up in the water before. We didn't skip over that part, but we did skip over.
Were they born in labs? Now it's time to rent those abs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast and the podcast Rank Those Abs, starring Nick Scarpino, co-starring Andy Cortez. Andy, which abs are we talking about? Are we talking about Ed Norton?
Talking about Edward Norton, yeah, washing up when he had his shirt off and he was all wet because of the water and he was in Guatemala before he made his way to America via a 17-day trek to Virginia specifically, which is really tough travel.
Tough on the feet.
I think we kind of give him the same score that Tom Holland gets because it's a smaller frame and it's easier to get abs when you have such a small frame and such a fast metabolism. Dude is shredded, though. Like, shout out to those abs. I like the definition there.
When he did the little begging for change thing, he had great definition on the side. It looked a lot Nick, you'll get this reference, looked a lot like the crucified version of Jesus of Nazareth we all grew up with in church. Because let me tell you, that Jesus was a fucking superhero, all right? This guy, in between sermons, was just doing crunches and a side crunch thing.
Hottie with a body. Down.
Push-ups. It's very true. Very true. I'm glad someone said it finally, Greg. Mm-hmm. I never could really put a word on what I was feeling there and all those Sundays, but you're right.
He's the reason for the season.
Up in the lab, Martin Starr is there. Did we ever confirm this is the same character as the other?
So, yeah, yes. Now, here's there are multiple things I would like to confirm on this episode.
Guys, we're going to confirm. We're going to the new segment called Tim Confirms Things, a good old TCT.
When we first did our Incredible Hulk in review, it was not confirmed yet. But now, since then, Kevin Feige has come out and said, yes, they are the same characters canonically, that this kid ends up growing up to be the teacher that we see in the Spider-Man MCU films. However, Kevin on the She-Hulk trailer recently was like, oh, he was credited as Amadeus Cho. And I was like, I don't think that's right. I don't know if you guys remember this. I was like, that sounds, wrong, whatever. And I was looking into it and the internet was like, yeah, it is, whatever. Definitely not. I looked at the credits. He's credited as Computer Nerd. So yeah.
Amadeus Cho.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah. But just let it this everybody is the reason know.
I'm glad Kevin's not here, because all he likes to do is put out his fake news and then act like he founded he founded the fucking country, but he didn't.
One Kevin network, exactly.
I feel like Kevin, more than I, which is kind of shocking, will just throw out things that he isn't even really certain of as fact. And then often YouTube comments are like, no, Greg's or Kevin's wrong about that. Why did he say that?
Well, yeah, Kevin is. He'll bite down. And once he's bitten down, it's locked. He got locked.
Oh, I was wrong. Oh, okay.
You have to let it go. Anyway, Martin Starr is there, but the data's gone. So he's got to keep moving. Later that night, he tries to leave Stanley's place, but Betty and Leonard are there. Leonard is Ty Burrell's character. And I like this shot. I like that she just looks over him for 1 second and sees him. And Liv Tyler, I think, does a great job here because she's happy. And then all of a sudden, it all comes flooding back into her.
Super fucked up for Ty Burrell's character, though. But yeah.
I mean, yeah. But
I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. But like, you know, I'd like to think they had a real heart to heart about it.
Look, dude.
But then he just fucking sells her out.
Yeah, then he just sells her up the fucking river, right? What a piece of shit he is. A therapist. That's why I don't trust him. I like the shot here. It's Liv Tyler. She's great. Andy,
it is funny.
Say what you will about her, but.
Go for it.
I was going to say, what was her name in that dork series you love to talk about? Where she had the ears? Gadriel, Clawthulu, Klaatu.
You're talking about the Lord of the Rings, Klaatu, most Oscars of all time?
Yeah, what was her name in that? Galadriel?
No, Galadriel was the fucking Hela, dude.
What was her name?
Come on, fake fan. Fake
fan.
Come on, fake fan. I'm blanking. Don't tell me. I'm blanking. Oh, my you God.
Fake little bitch, Andy.
I'm blanking.
While he's thinking about that, Tim, what were you going to say?
The Rings movie. Come on,
I'm blanking. I have a bad memory, dude. What if I always said that knowledge is just having a good memory, and I don't have a good memory?
That's fair. Well, Andy Googles that, Tim. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, it's funny with this being the whole universal distributed thing. Like, we rarely get references to a lot of the Hulk stuff in the MCU, right? Like, we got Ross back, but we never really got any Betty or any of that. But there was that What If episode that totally just took place at this college. Remember?
Oh,
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, and, like, we just saw that, like, recently when we watched What If. So I was, like, seeing it. I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, it is the exact college, which I guess isn't that big of a surprise. It was just weird to see so many years later, like, this movie get referenced so directly.
That's I'm cool. just trying to picture Elrond right now saying her name. Fucking, I'm because trying to picture
Cthulhu. Just throwing it out there. Cthulhu.
I like how you say it like Cthulhu.
Derek, can you give me the first letter? Can you look it up and just give me the first letter?
A. It starts with an E.
An E?
It starts with an A.
A.
That's what Barrett said.
Oh.
That was gonna throw you off the track just to fuck with you.
I still can't remember, dude.
It's one of the most iconic roles in the
Hold on.
In the entire,
if I can remember before Andy no. has been never.
No,
there's
we're
no
not
shot, Nick, that you're gonna remember it.
And
it
needs to never what?
Talk about Lord of the Rings in a positive light ever again until we do the Ring of Power or whatever.
No, fuck you. Keep going right with the plot. I'll try to remember.
Betty spots Bruce walking to the range. She runs to wraps arm around him. She says, Don't go, just come with me. She takes him home, gives him a really big USB thumb drive with all of their data on it. Betty wants to go back to Ross and work with him, but Banner knows all Ross wants to do is dissect the Hulk and weaponize it. Not a bad idea if they have to fight Thanos one day. Suit of armor on the world. You know what I'm talking about, Andy?
There's suit of armor on the world. I have the glasses around here somewhere.
Do it.
Keep going.
Ross pulls the other super soldier serum out of cryo and gives it to Blonsky. 2 shots in the neck, 1 in the spine. Bah, bah, bah. Something cracks too. It's weird. Later that night, Betty and Bruce dream about each other
painful,
while in the next
right?
room.
Yeah.
Very painful. I mean, again, Tim Roth, great actor, right? That whole scene is fucked up.
It reminds me a lot of that scene in The Craft. Remember that? when Neve Campbell goes in for like the 19th surgery on her skin or whatever, and she screams.
Yeah,
like they're like, hey, if you worship Satan, you don't have to do this anymore. She's like, I'm in.
She's like, done.
But Nick, again, you take a syringe to the spine, get taller.
That's what I'm talking about, guys. Yeah. How much pain would you take? Is all I'm saying, Andy. Think about it. Her name was Adrian. Was it Adrian?
No.
Eladriel. Glad.
It's me, Gollum. Ariel. My mind went to Eliath, but that's the fucking smoke monster for Loki. Bear, what's the second letter?
R.
Yeah, it's R. It's like Ariel shit. That's a Little Mermaid.
I'm so embarrassed right now, dude. This is so embarrassing.
Arlington. let's see. Ross pulls the other day. Anyway, later that night, Betty and
Real
Bruce.
Quick, Tim, do you remember when off the dome we did a Clerks 3 reaction trailer and I had gave you like 45 minutes of in-depth Kevin Smith shit? And then we asked Andy, what's Liv Tyler's name in your favorite movie? And he's over
here. Well, Greg, you can recall any movie front to back. Like, I can't do that. Remember when we tried to do that for the one time that we were gonna pass off the retelling of the plots, and I tried in Captain America First Avenger, and we quickly nixed that idea and said, nope, not doing that anymore.
Beautiful.
Ariandel.
Ariandel Grande.
Grandy.
They head to campus the next morning and thunder can be heard way off in the distance. Nice little touch. They're like, oh, it's getting thundery on there. Bruce
Arwin.
There you go, buddy.
Fuck! Arwin.
He did it.
Good job.
He did it.
Only took you 35
minutes. Jeez, I have such a bad memory, y'all. You have no idea. It's so embarrassing all the time.
No, it's a hard character.
Nick, you ever have people be like, oh, remember I met you at that one convention 2 years ago? And I always have to let people know. I forget people that I worked with at Rooster Teeth for a year straight. Mm-hmm. Like, people that I worked with and talked to every day. I saw them at RTX and I was like, oh, let me look at Twitter because I forgot their name. I'm the worst with names, dude.
Bernie still talks about that time he called him Bob.
Bobby.
Bobby Bums.
Oh, anyway, as they're walking to campus, Bruce spots the fuzz rolling in and tells Betty to get as far away from him as possible. Blonsky runs really fast while an excessive amount of Humvees roll in.
Great man once said, this white boy can run. Okay. Yes. I love this shit. I love this little dude just fucking taking off and you see him getting faster. I'm like, this is fucking cool, man. This guy's a cool bad guy. I can't wait to see him again.
Shit. Bruce forces himself to swallow the massive USB thumb drive while Betty throws herself at the mercy of General Thunderbolt Ross, who ends up being her father. Banner gets trapped in the overpass. Ross orders two canisters of gas to be shot into the overpass, which is completely made of glass, to which I would respond, how? Okay. In my brain, I'm like, okay, this thing's going to go through the other end and just spike the quad. It's just going to fuck up a bunch of kids, you know what I mean?
It is kind of shocking that the canisters like break through one glass, but not the second.
Not the second glass, right? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, as he gets gassed out, we see him grab the window or the glass in front of him, and his hand starts pulsating into the Hulk's hands. Cool. And man, let me tell you. Banner, he sees him getting handsy with Betty, gets pissed off, Hulk's out, and CG has come a long freaking way. Hulk destroys everything while two frat dorks recorded on their Nokia phones.
Whoa, they say that I think they're pre-journalism, aren't they? They're journalism or something.
I said dorks.
Whoa!
Got him, dude.
And then this footage is later in Iron Man 2.
Oh, that's cool.
We see Tony looking at the footage of
Tony!
That those fucking dorks recorded.
Ross orders Blonsky in, and even my dumbass knows this is a terrible idea. No amount of parkour is going to save you from being decapitated by the Hulk. They bring in the sonic cannons, and it almost works. Maybe they should try playing some spa music. That always relaxes me, Andy. Hulk sees Betty screaming for him, so he punches harder and body slams the trunk with the sonic thing on it. Blonsky tries to step it up yet again, so Hulk just chest kicks him through a tree. And for sure, he's dead.
That was one of the most violent things we've seen in the MCU. It's that and Tilda Swinton in Doctor Strange. When she falls.
Yeah.
Like, it is just like the most ridiculously over the top thing. I do want to give a shout out to the sonic cannons. I always thought they were cool. I like that they're Stark. And we recently saw them in Ms. Marvel.
That's true.
Some of the
also, I don't care how,
stuff from DODC.
I also don't care how good of a soldier Noam Chomsky is. Like,
Chomp.
How bad do you have to be as Edward Norton Hulk to not hit the dude with these two fucking big, like, it felt like a Dark Souls fight. This guy was like, he felt like a Dark Souls villain, this big guy with his two like shield weapons. And then Noam Chomsky is just like rolling on the ground. It's like, there's no part that's believable about this. I don't believe any of this. And then he knocks him against a tree. I'm like, all right, that's actually cool that they actually did that. Cause I kind of forgot that happens. Like, I love him kind of walking up and challenging him. Again, the villain's the best part of this movie. Like, he's actually, like, has great screen presence, and he's just walking up to him with the M16, just, like, popping, like, shots at him. Like, what are we going to do, bro? Like, this whole thing is, like, pretty sick. I like this sequence.
Ty Burrell finally shows up a day late and $1 short. Wait, have we seen? But anyway, it doesn't matter. More guns come in, and Hulk saves Betty from the firestorm, but she's unconscious, so he carries her to safety. This is when everything blows up. Turns out Ty Burrell gave them up, but he's mad at Ross. So he's like, "I'm not gonna give him up again. Fool me once, shame on you. I'm a therapist." And then Ross has a banger line where he's like, "I'm a therapist, man." Ross has a great line when he gets the car. He's like, "Where does she find these guys?" It's good. Bruce takes Betty to his favorite cave so he can throw rocks at the moon with her, but she manages to calm down the rage monster.
He gets what was so funny, mad at the thunder.
What's funny about this scene is I'm rewatching it yesterday, and they get in the cave, and immediately I'm like, oh, here we go. I remember this. And then I had to stop and be like, I don't remember what I remember about it. I just remember that in the last interview, and I didn't re-listen to it, we went off on this scene for some reason. And then the scene ends, and I'm like, there was nothing that bad.
No, it's a perfectly fine scene. It's fine.
I mean, I like it. It kind of shows that, like, the Hulk's got, like, he's just a big old angry kid.
He's a big old angry idiot. He's getting out of the rain.
You get him a baba, everything's gonna be okay.
It's funny seeing the newer Hulk. It's just that he has way more personality. They were able to infuse that in, right? Why am I forgetting the actor's name? Who plays Hulk?
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo's Hulk has more of a childlike personality where he can't communicate. He gets frustrated, but he's slightly likable. And obviously that's an iteration and evolution of this Hulk. But it's just so funny because when he is Hulk, he actually is like the least – it's not very compelling. He's not very fun to watch. And then he just smashes stuff, which gets
If I have to watch one more
here we go.
TikTok dude be like, here's look what they did to Hulk. They ruined the Hulk. MCU ruined the Hulk. Like, it's like, and what's the alternative? This, like, this is not better, man. This is not better. I'm sorry. I know you don't like the fact that Hulk is doing yoga now. Smart Hulk is funny and personable. Okay, smart. We don't always need the dude to be exploding buildings and shit. I'm sure we'll get back.
Yeah, you should have bought all the Ang Lee toys if you wanted this Hulk to stick around.
Exactly.
You should have hung out with
the crazy Nick Nolte toy.
I want to see what y'all mean about him.
I forgot about Nick Nolte in that
Nick
movie.
Nolte being his dad, right? He's when he fights.
Tim, I think we got to pause this rewatch. Okay. And we all go watch Ang Lee, and then we do recap that, and then we finish this recap.
Perfect. I want to let y'all know I had it on the schedule that we were going to watch that, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that to Andy. Not like this.
It would have been bad.
We almost didn't have Andy on this rewatch, and he volunteered. He didn't need to be here. He chose to be here. I respect the hell out of you, Andy Cortez.
Tim said, Andy, do you want to be on Kind of Funny Podcast or Incredible Hulk rewatch, because you're going to be on vacation soon. And I said, I want justice, and I want my words to be echoed loud and clear. And I want the YouTube comments to come to my defense and say, Andy, you were right, dude. You were right. You've got great taste, good hair, super tall.
And you're just a big old Lord of the Rings fan.
Arwen. Arwen. Blonsky, not so great. He is basically every bone in his body is pulverized except for his middle finger, which kind of still works, and then his right eye just kind of opens and he's like, oh, I'm still alive.
Yeah, it was like supposed to be like a fucking weird horror movie or some shit. I'm like, yeah. All right.
Betty and Bruce wake up next to each other. Betty gets them a hotel room so he can barf up his data. She bought him some clothes, including a pair of purple stretchy shorts. nudge. And he's like, purple, get out of here, crazy. Betty and Bruce.
Man, I don't want to be purple.
Of course, eventually start making out because she put those two people in the room together and everyone's dried off and wet or whatever. And everyone's going to get excited. He goes, I can't get too excited, though. And she goes, not even a little excited.
Yeah, that's cute.
Blonsky makes a full recovery and he's shredded now. But it's like the kind of shredded, Andy, where you and I would just draw muscles on ourselves. You know? It looks so so fucking bad. And it's like they didn't have the technology to make him taller, like bigger, so he just looks like this frail old man with fake muscles glued to him. It's very fucking weird.
Wasn't that, he's kind of emaciated too, right?
Yes, it's strange. Yeah, it's just weird. Let's see. Again, I point this out. Greg, take the pin out of it. If I were...
Well, here comes a Nick grenade. Ding,
ding, ding. If I were Thunderbolt Ross, I'd be like, maybe we don't have to worry about like trapping the Hulk and getting this. This is clearly working. This guy was on death's door yesterday.
Guys, we got it. Stop. Wrap it up and on the Hulk. Who cares?
He's now the Wolverine. He can just recuperate. It's pretty cool. Pretty rad. Anyway, regenerator. Betty offers to sell her mom's
necklace. Nick, you bring that up. I don't know if you remember from the last time we did this, but like you bring it up Wolverine, like it is the same stuff. Like the super soldier, the weapon program stuff. Mm-hmm. Like this is from that. So it is very similar. So it's
interesting. Oh, cool. It was from the Weapon X program?
Yeah, this would be like weapon 2 or whatever, 3, 4, something like that. Yeah.
Very cool. Let's see. Betty offers. They got to get to New York somehow. So Betty offers to sell her mom's necklace, which in a weird kind of like, hey, we're trying to humanize these characters. Ed Norton's like, no, it's all you have left of her. And it's like, what? Who are we talking about? It's
I know, weird. Right? Like, okay, like again, like it's just like a movie that's just gonna tell you everything. Just like you know, when it's revealed that Thunderbolt Ross is her dad or whatever, when she screams at her dad or whatever. Like that was the first time she calls him. All right,
cool. Anyway, it turns out S.H.I.E.L.D. is monitoring everything that has to do with Mr. Blue, and they figure out it's Dr. Samuel Stearns. Betty tells Banner that he was in there somewhere. She's like, you know, when you were in that monster, you were in there somewhere. You recognize me. Maybe you could learn to control the Hulk. But all he wants to do is get rid of it. He's like, this thing's got to go. Blonsky goes in for another round of shots. Betty and Bruce get stuck in traffic. So they head to New York via a boat. And then, they get a traffic stop. So they head there in a boat. And then they take a cab instead of the subway, which turns out to be a terrible idea. We get some zany comedy here. Betty and Banner find Dr. Samuels at NYU. And he geeks out over them. He tells them that the antidote is risky. He's got it. But if they miscalculate, it could kill him. And it also could make him rage out and do whatever. They don't know. And also, they don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing or if it's just going to just stop this one incident. So they got to try it. Anyway, Blonsky starts turning into the Abomination when he gets on the helicopter to go hunt Banner. Someone asks him how he's feeling, and he goes, like a monster. And I'd be like, I got to tell. I got to tell someone else. That's right.
What was that? Why did that sound like the intro to a bad like rap rock song?
That's what he says. He's like a monster.
I did like the pissed off and ready for round 3. I was like, oh fuck yeah, dude. Let's go. Like,
sing that almost.
I also like by the time we get there to Tim Blake Nelson, Samuel Stearns, Dr. Stearns, like I really enjoy his performance. I think in a movie that is being played very seriously, like I appreciate his little bit of comic booky over the top. It's revealed, right? A mad scientist kind of thing. And I've kind of broached a bunch of stuff and yada yada. And so like, even at the end where he's like, whatever he says, there's no guarantee you won't be an abomination. I was like, all right. I like it here. I like what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Where's his MCU TV show?
The leader. I mean, he is like one of the most iconic Hulk bad guys, and we just never got him. So at some point, I'm sure that we will see him again or at least hear about him, but I don't know when. I doubt it'll be She-Hulk, but maybe.
Mr. Blue preps Banner for the cure, but by inducing an episode. And of course, Betty has to calm him down before he hulks out so Stern can give him the antidote, and it works, but there's no way of knowing if it's permanent. Stern is over the moon with the excitement. He shows Bruce, he's like, oh man, all the other test subjects died. He's like, what the heck are you talking about? He's like, oh dude, I made a ton of stuff from your blood, and this is freaky deaky territories. So they go in, and it's just vials and vials, bags and bags of his blood in there, which I don't think we ever go back to. So it turns out that Thunderbolt probably has that blood, right? Because they never really destroy it. They're supposed to, but they don't. And then Blonsky comes in and knocks him out. Betty gives Thunderbolt the riot act. And as they board the plane with Banner tied up to a little gurney, Blonsky knocks out Stern's guards and tells him to put whatever he got out of Banner into him. And he goes, I think you got a little. He's like, looks like you already got a little something in there already. I don't know what's going to happen. And he's like, the mixture could make you into an abomination, to Greg's point. Yeah, Blonsky gets juiced up and turns into something worse than Hulk and taller, which is even worse.
And spikier.
So many spikes.
Clear ripoff of Doomsday, which sucks.
No fins.
The fins would have gone a long way, in my opinion, because it looks like, I think Andy's talked about this last time, but like his head looks so bald without the fins. It just needs a little something else there.
He looks like a Goomba from the Mario movie.
Yes, he does. That is a good pull. Stoon takes a little Hulk blood to the dome and his head grows bigger. Blonsky goes nuts immediately. Just I'm evil. Two soldiers radio back to HQ that the Hulk's on the move, but that can't be because everyone's looking at him right there in the helicopter.
I see him. Bruce,
Betty, Bruce, and Ross watch the carnage unfold on the monitor. Betty can't believe what her father has done. Banner realizes that he's the only one who could stop Abomination. Quote, he can't be controlled. The Hulk can't be controlled, but maybe he can be aimed.
It's interesting with Thunderbolt Ross, because the one we get in this movie, very in line, but also different than the one that we get from Civil War on in the MCU of what we know about him. Like, he is just so, like, fucking evil in this. In the future ones, it's like, yeah, you're a bad guy because you're against the good guys, but, like, yeah, you're making some good points overall. Here it's
remember, this is where he turns. Maybe this is the turning point. He sees the Hulk not be a horrible person.
It totally could be. But this movie being what it is when it came out, not knowing it was going to be part of a bigger, like, you know, 20 years down the line turn into this, I love that they just committed so hard to him being a comic book bad guy. Like, the way he looks, the cigar, just the outfit, everything, like all his choices, all his dialogue, I'm like, they just put a comic book ass bad guy in this serious ass movie, and it's like, it's kind of fun.
Banner tells him to open a back door. Betty pleads with him not to jump. She says, you don't even know if you'll change, and he goes, I gotta try. And he kisses her, and as he does so, he lets go of her lips and he falls out of the back of the chopper, and then nothing happens, and he goes, oh shit, as he smashes into the asphalt below. But up comes the Hulk, and it's on. Hulk versus Abomination square off, and Hulk gets his clock clean, just a shit beat out of him. He uses a cop car as boxing gloves, which is weird, but that isn't enough. Ross tries to give Hulk some help, but the Abomination cuts them down to the ground in the chopper, and the chopper, of course, is leaking gas, and Betty's like, I'm trapped inside. There's just a body in front of me. He's like, well, unbuckle the body, and she's like, I can't possibly do that. And then Hulk has to just punch harder. And then Abomination beats Hulk's ass with a chain. And this isn't any last words. And Hulk's like, yeah, I got fucking last words. The last catchphrase I haven't said yet. Hulk, smash. And he just wraps the chain around Abomination's neck and then stabs him with his own bones and then tries to just strangle him. But Betty's like, hey, stop. To which I reply,
there's good in him.
Right. I'd be like, well, if I stop,
what are they going to do?
Only thing on the planet that can kill this thing. What the fuck are they going to do with this guy? I would have just snapped his neck. But instead, he puts him down and then smashes his chest. And I guess that just, like, breaks his ribs or something.
I love this. I think this fight's fucking cool. And, like, for all the, like, same guy versus same guy power type shit that we've seen so many times. Yeah. Like, if we're going to get a Hulk v. Hulk type fight, I like that it was so melee-focused. I like that they were using the weapons, the catchphrases, the thunderclap, all that stuff. I think that they did a good job with this.
I do like the sort of speed that both of them run with. Like, there's a good sense of, like, inertia and whatever. Like, it's just a really good run animation, maybe. They have just, like, great mocap. But I appreciate it anytime they were on screen kind of running towards each other. You could feel the force behind it.
They actually did the fight. It was the two actors, and they had the dots and stuff, and they did all the mocap and choreography. It was really them, so I think that does go a long way for that.
Then a spotlight from a nearby news chopper hits him, and he bolts. The next day, Betty looks at a picture she took of him right before the camera battery dies.
It beeps in her pocket like it's her phone. Beep, beep. And then she pulls out, like, oh, just the camera I've had on in my pocket this entire time.
Yeah, this whole thing is funny because it's like, this is a perfect moment in time thing where it's like, smartphones weren't really a thing yet, you know? So now we're looking at it like, that was fucking weird. But that was just them being like, we need some way to, like, notify her that there's, like, video footage of this shit. It's like, all right, cool.
And it's got to be like, it's like the worst green screen in the fucking movie of her, you know, sitting there looking at New York. Like, it's got to be a fucking add-in, right? That they added later.
That shot was terrible. I don't know why. Yeah, but I think they were like, well, we don't really have any. There's literally no closure in this movie whatsoever. So you should see, like, one shot of her. Right.
Yeah, it's very funny how this movie just ends. I do like that they did the kind of Spider-Man final shot, though, of, like, Spidey swinging through New York, and we see Hulk kind of escaping. It's not the final shot of the movie, which I think was a bad call, but I liked the scene of him.
Oh, I like this. We get him over in British Columbia, and he's found a new life. He's jogging and stuff like that. He's working out, he's big in fitness now. But instead of trying to get rid of the Hulk, we get that he's, like, now trying to control the Hulk, which is cool. And then it says Days Without Incident as he opens his eyes and it's green. Days Without Incident, Greg, 69. It's one. And then, of course, we get a fun cameo where Thunderbolt Ross is just drinking his sorrows away. He's at the bottom of a barrel, and in walks in RDJ in very large pant legs. And he says, I've always felt that hardware. was more, it was not the style. It was not the style back then. I do not know why Robert Downey Jr. committed so hard in the early Iron Man movies to very large pant legs, but
it was the style.
That's one of life's little mysteries. He says, I heard you had a problem. He's like, I've always thought hardware was more reliable. Stark, you always wear such nice suits. And then he says, what if I told you we were putting a team together? And then Thunderbolt Ross says, who's we? And that is it.
Let's go, man. It's fucking so goddamn cool.
The coolest part of the movie is this.
It's so cool. It's so I love that they did it, though. And like, again, the reshoot stuff, yeah, that's how movies work sometimes. And with this coming out a month after, like, there was no way that this was going to be the plan. But they made it happen. I think that that's so fucking cool that a month after Iron Man 1, we're seeing Robert Downey Jr. again building up to eventually Avengers. Like, what a moment in time that we know where it ends, which is the coolest thing imaginable. So
Universal saw this scene and was like, this tack-on scene at the end of this movie is more fun than anything else that came right before. We should probably double down on this.
Yeah, I guarantee like more people went to see the movie just because of word of mouth that it actually connects. So like, yeah,
it's cool.
I remember that being I remember those moments when the Stark in the beginning, you know, when the Stark logo came up, like, oh shit, that's fucking cool. They're actually, and then yeah, for let alone from the shop show up at the end.
Mm-hmm. We do not have any haikus today. Remember next week.
Can I make one up right now?
Definitely could.
The middle. You need five for the first and last line. What? If it's not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
Wah, wah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Haiku in Review. I have a haiku for everybody. Here we go. Check Twitter. There is a poll up asking what's better. Ah, fuck. I fucked up. I was going to say Arwen. I wanted to put Arwen in there somehow. Her name was Arwen. It's five syllables.
There you go. With the all-time worst haiku kind of funniest ever fucking at. You can go to kindoffunny.com. No, Patreon.com. They don't need to rhyme. Patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your reviews in haiku form. If you guys want to do some Groot ones in the next couple of days, that'll be fantastic. And then next week, we are returning to the Rocky universe. We're going to be doing Rocky 4, 5, and 6 week after week after week. And I am very, very excited about that. But before we leave here, we talked a little bit about all this stuff. Like, do we feel that the rankings are wrong? Bear, can you please bring up the ranking so far?
I'll tell you Tim, according to Twitter, I put a poll went out on Ragu Bagu Vid's Twitter. Poll went out around 20 minutes ago. It's been up for 20 minutes. There's 998 votes. What movie is better, 2008's Incredible Hulk or 2011's Thor? 2011 Thor, 64% of the vote.
Wow.
It's decisive.
About that.
It is decisive, yeah.
Why'd you click the other one, Bear?
I love it. Yeah, can you bring up the rankings again, Barrett? Yeah, so there we go. The bottom five right now of the MCU is What If, Moon Knight, Hulk, Thor, and Thor Dark World. I feel like we're not far off. I feel like that, like in terms of tiers that we always talk about, we're kind of in the, I would say the bottom tier is Hulk, Thor, and Thor Dark World.
Sure.
Arguably Moon Knight in there as well.
I'll just say that decisions were made in this movie that the holders of the keys decided these should no longer go forward throughout the rest of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Edward Norton isn't there anymore. There's a reason why Hulk doesn't look like shit anymore.
He got all mad. He wanted more creative say. He didn't like the final edit of the movie.
He's the difficult guy to work with.
Maybe he was right on this one. I mean, before we throw him under the bus here, you know?
I mean, didn't he do rewrites?
Oh, yeah. A whole bunch.
Andy, I can get Gary Whitt in here right now, and he'll tell you that. Rewrites are one thing. Re-edits are another. All right? What the director puts onto the celluloid, that's a completely different thing.
Well, maybe he should have written better just everything for himself then, you know? Look out for yourself, brother, because you did not do yourself any favors.
I was reading the trivia on American History X while I was watching it at 2 o'clock in the freaking morning. And one of the things was they had a massive falling out with the guy that wrote and directed that movie because he was basically like – he just like wrenched creative control away from the guy. And granted, that movie was good, but I don't know. I mean, it just seems like maybe they were like, this guy's kind of – has a strong personality that maybe we don't want to go forward with him. As opposed to Mark Ruffalo, who's just the kind of guy you want to fucking hang out with.
Dude, Mark Ruffalo, let's hang out. Where are you at, homie?
Man.
Where are you at?
I'm going to tweet at him right now. You go like it, Andy, okay?
Let us know in the comments below if you prefer Thor or Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, of course, not Ang Lee's Hulk. But also, like, can you explain to me what happens with Hulk fighting these wolves in the clouds? Because I'm very, very interested.
Only when you guys can explain to me why Moon Knight is so low on this list.
Oh, wasn't that good?
It's fucking boring. Yeah.
We're gonna return to MCU in review with She-Hulk in just a couple weeks. Actually, it's gonna be quite a bit of weeks. There's 9 episodes of this thing, so we're gonna be returning there for that. Very excited. We're gonna see our boy Tim Roth back. Yeah. But until next time, I love you all. Andy,
have a marvelous day.